Acts 13:22 has been our text for some time. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And so as we come to look at the last thing this morning in the life of David, which made him a man after God's own heart, I want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12, where it says in verse 5, Deuteronomy 12:5, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. So God chose a place where he would put his name. And he said to that place, you were to come as Israelites. Now, as we read through Psalm 119, one of the things that stands out in this Psalm 119 is how David loved the Word of God. But you know, in David's time, he didn't have but the first five books. And one of those was the scriptures we just read. So you know David pondered that verse. David got that in his mouth, and he just rolled it around and squeezed all of the sweetness out of that. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. That habitation is his house where he dwells. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we find again in verse 8 that it says, and they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy what? Y'all must not have flipped to it yet. For thy what?
Name.
And they have built thee a sanctuary for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence. Now notice what he's got in parentheses. Presence. Open parentheses. For thy name is in this house. Close parentheses. He's equating the presence of God with the name of God. And so when you come to the house of God, you find God's name there and his presence dwelling there. Why did David love God's house? Because it was where his presence dwelled. What makes the house of God so special today? The same reason. His presence dwells here. And so David could come back in Psalm 26 and verse 8. In Psalm 26, 8, David says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. And so when he came to the house of God, that place where God lived, his habitation, it was the place where his presence was known. His honor dwelled there. And it was a place that filled David's heart to overflowing. Well, and that's the same way today, that the house of God affects us. You know, it's amazing how we can just come dragging into church a lot of times, and God meets with us, and He just fills up our cup to overflowing with His divine goodness and His presence. How wonderful that is. And so we come then to that 1 Chronicles 29, where David is there describing 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1 says, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold, for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glittering stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my..." What's the word?
Affection.
And so when you think about the word affection, what comes to your mind? It's broken down to mean love, tenderness, warmth, fondness. And certainly all these things went in to what made David's heart moved with affection towards the house of God. "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." David set his affection, his devotion, his endearment towards the house of God in providing all the things necessary, because God says, "You've been a bloody man. You cannot build my house, but Solomon your son will build my house." And so even though God said, "David, you cannot do it," David's affection was such towards the house of God that he laid everything in abundance, that when it got going, all the materials were there to get started with the house of God. Why? Because that was the place that David loved. And so, dear brethren, this morning, if we want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, we'll be like David. We'll love the house of God. We'll love the place where His name is called upon and His presence shed abroad. We will be faithful to that house as David was faithful to that house. He was true to it. He was devoted to it. He was constant to it. He was loyal to it, and he was steadfast. Now, that's the way I want to go out of the world. I want to go out of the world loving the house of God and being true to it and devoted to it. I want to be constant and loyal to it. What about you? Amen. There is no greater place to be on the face of this earth than in the house of God. Well, let's just bring it down to the modern day. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the apostle writing to Timothy says, No, it's not 1 Timothy. It's 2 Timothy 3. I think it's 1 Timothy 3. It's 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the what?
Church.
The what?
Church.
You mean the house of God and the church are the same thing? That's what Paul says. That the house of God is the same thing as the church of the living God. And so we have been made stones, living stones in the house of our God. And He's building a glorious habitation, not just worldwide, but right here in this little place. You're living stones being built up, a habitation of God through His Spirit. Does that make you glad this morning? It ought to thrill our souls. I tell you, you are the dwelling place of Almighty God. You are His habitation. And that's what makes this place so sweet. The presence of the living God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so this house of God, this church of the living God, David did not know it in the same sense of the New Testament times as we know it today as the house of God, the church of the living God. He knew it as the house of God where God's name dwelt. But he had not yet come across Matthew 16:18, where Jesus said, "And upon this rock, this testimony that I am the Son of God, I will build my church, and it'll be different than any other assembly in the world. My church upon this rock." David hadn't come across that yet. But he knew a place where God dwelled. And it was called the house of God. Now he brings that right over to the New Testament. And David says in Psalm 27 in verse 4, One thing. Does that sound kind of like a number one priority? Here's my number one priority in modern language, David's saying. My number one priority is that I have desired of the Lord. And I'm going to seek after this number one priority. And that is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. That was David's number one priority. And you know what? When we make that our number one priority, there is no greater blessing that we can have out of this life than to be in the place where God's presence is revealed and His worship is given. The house of God. In Psalm 65 in verse 4, one of our memory verses that we've memorized, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee." We could put "draw" in that section, couldn't we? Because that's what it means. When God causes us to approach, it's the same thing that Solomon said in Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 4, where he said, "Draw us, we will run after thee." When God draws us, we will have a desire to run after Him. And this is the same thought expressed right here. You cause us to approach unto thee. You draw us unto thee. And those that He draws, for this reason, that we may dwell in His courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy, what?
House.
Even of thy holy temple. So God gives us the desire to draw near, then you find in Acts chapter 2 in verse 37, when the Holy Spirit begins to show us Jesus Christ, and our hearts are smitten and convicted, and we cry out to God, and we can believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and cast ourselves for time and eternity on Jesus. Repent of our sins. Then we follow Him in a commitment all the days of our life to be loyal to Him, devoted to Him, true to Him, constant to Him in the church of the living God. So that's what we find right here. Verse 37. Well, actually, verse 36, he says, Acts chapter 2. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. I tell you, if the Holy Spirit had not been working here, that would have fallen on deaf ears. But because He was moving, He took that truth and He applied it to their souls, and it cut them to the very quick. And they cried out when they heard these things, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." But you know, there's two twin graces that always go together. It's faith and repentance. And you'll never repent until you see Jesus and believe on Him. And then you have a desire to turn from your sins to the living God. And so they turned. By the grace of God, they were saved, and they turned. And then they began to take up their cross and follow Him. And it says in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized." And the commitment begins. The commitment begins when I go down into that watery grave and I come back up, because I've said to the world, I've died to my old way of life. And now I'm willing to follow Jesus in newness of life. And I'm committing my life to Him. It's the same thing with a marriage. When they say, "I do," they've committed themselves for the rest of their life. And even though they get old and their skin gets wrinkly and saggy, we're going to love each other and grow old together because we've committed ourselves to one another for life. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Well, that's the way our love story is with Jesus, that we've committed ourselves to Him for life. They were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And you know what? We're not even in those times anymore. And yet we're still seeing God do wonders in our midst, in the very heart of His little church, His assembly, His house. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Isn't that beautiful? That you and this church can be so bonded together that all things you are together in is such a beautiful thing. And as we come to be at one another's feet in a few more Sundays, how precious that is, that we can be so bonded together. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, that sentiment is alive and well, and we're still praising God. as we behold him working. And so we do. We come to see that commitment in our life. We come to that place where God's holy presence dwells. And that's how Ezekiel closes out his book, his letter that he wrote in Ezekiel 48 and 35. It was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord Is There. Or in the margins of your Bible, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And you see that written over the doors of this place. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. We use this building as a place of convenience, but if we were just sitting out under these trees, over that assembly would be written Jehovah Shammah, because you are the church. Not this building. You are the church of the living God. And over that is written, the Lord is there. Well, I tell you, there's just something about the presence of the living God that our souls just cry out for. They seek it. And so the psalmist could pen that. He could just open it up to us in Psalm 63. Psalm 63 in verse 1, he says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You know, when I was about 9 or 10 years old, I just fell on the bed one day. I had such a sense of homesickness. I was at home, in an earthly home. But being in that earthly home, I still had such a sense of homesickness. I was longing for something, and I didn't quite understand what it was. But looking back now, I know what it was now. It was where God was, where He dwells, His presence. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. So when you see the house of God and all the wonderful things that it holds for us, no wonder David could say in Psalm 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now Isaiah describes for us in Isaiah 37 something we've all experienced. And we still find it to be so. In verse 1 it says, And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. He found that to be a place of refuge in times of trouble. Just like we have found the house of God, the church of the living God, to be a place of refuge in times of trouble. We count it to be a haven for our soul where we can get away from the troubles of the world. You can't find that anywhere else. You can't find it. It's only to be found in one place, and that is the house of the Lord. Well, it's a beautiful place, this house of the Lord. But I tell you, when we get away from it, what happens to our soul is the same thing that happened in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Now, what a picture that paints. Do you know what the word Bethlehem means? That's exactly right. It means the house of bread. Do you know where Jesus was born? Bethlehem. Because he was the bread of life. He was born in the place where that became the house of bread. For the bread of life would be born there. They left the house of God, where the bread of life was, and went to a foreign place where there was no presence of God, no house of God, no house of bread. And she says in verse 21, as they went out, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again. What? Empty. You talk about a picture in our lives. When we leave the house of God, we become empty. There's nothing in this world that can fill you up and satisfy you like being in the house of bread, in the place where God satisfies His people. As a matter of fact, that's what David could say in Psalm 36 in verse 8. In Psalm 36 and 8, David says, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy what? House. That word satisfied means to be full. Filled up to the full and overflowing. And when we are in the house of God, our souls are just saturated with such good things of the presence of God that our lives are overflowing. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. This wonderful house, if we want to be full, this is the place to be. For when we get away from here, you find nothing but barrenness, wilderness, and an emptiness that takes over a man's life. But if you want to be full, you'll find it in the house of God. And to that house, may we be true and devoted and constant and loyal all the days of our life. And we will be a man or a woman after God's own heart.